Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Jurisdiction and Immigration Post-Decision Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On January 20th, 2010, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Kuchana v. Holder. The case concerned whether a provision of the United States Code, which bars judicial review of discretionary actions of the Attorney General, applies to decisions of the Board of Immigration Appeals on motions to reopen a case. The Attorney General derives authority for these discretionary actions from Subchapter 2 of the Immigration and Nationality Act. In a 9-0 decision delivered by Justice Ginsburg, the Court held that the statute's proscription of judicial review applies only to determinations made discretionary by statute and not to determinations declared discretionary by the Attorney General through regulation. Justice Alito filed a separate opinion. He concurred in the judgment. To discuss the case, we have United States Military Academy at West Point, Department of Law Professor Margaret D. Stock. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Stock.
This is Professor Margaret Stock speaking to you today about the important Supreme Court case of Kuchana v. Holder. This is a separation of powers and administrative law decision interpreting a key provision of the Clinton-era immigration laws. The Supreme Court's decision was issued on January 20th, 2010, and in a nutshell, the principle at stake in the case was whether the executive branch has power to deprive the federal courts of their judicial review power through issuance of regulations, or whether Congress must specifically state in a statute that the federal courts are precluded from reviewing a case. The Supreme Court interpreted a law that bars some discretionary relief for immigrants facing deportation. In a rare 9-0 unanimous opinion, the court held in favor of Agron Kuchana, an Albanian immigrant who was trying to avoid being deported. The court's decision preserves the jurisdiction of the federal courts to hear some immigration cases. Let's talk a little bit about the facts. Agron Kuchana came to the United States from Albania in 1995 and did not leave when his business visitor status expired. Mr. Kuchana applied for asylum but did not show up for his hearing because he overslept. Under immigration law, if a person fails to appear for a hearing, an immigration judge can order him deported anyway, and an immigration judge therefore ordered that Mr. Kuchana be deported. Kuchana tried to reopen his case by filing a motion to reopen, but the motion was denied by the immigration judge in the exercise of discretion. On appeal, the Board of Immigration Appeals, also known popularly as the BIA, affirmed the immigration judge's decision not to reopen the case. Mr. Kuchana did not leave the U.S., however, but again tried to reopen his case, arguing that his life would be in danger if he returned to Albania. The second motion to reopen the case was also denied, and Kuchana appealed next to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit. There, he argued that the BIA had abused its discretion in refusing to reopen his immigration case because the BIA failed to consider an affidavit testifying to the dangerous conditions existing in Albania. The Seventh Circuit ruled against Kuchana, however, holding that it lacked jurisdiction to review the matter. The court said that it lacked jurisdiction because in 1996, Congress had passed the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act, which contained provisions limiting an immigrant's right to judicial review of some administrative immigration decisions. One section of this 1996 law limited an immigrant's right to review when decisions of the immigration courts were deemed to be in the discretion of the executive branch. The circuit court found that the BIA's decision not to reopen Mr. Kuchana's case was a discretionary decision. The 1996 immigration law provides that no court has jurisdiction to review any decision that is under the discretion of the Board of Immigration Appeals. Therefore, the court reasoned that Mr. Kuchana's claim was not reviewable by a federal court of appeals. Interestingly, however, the 1996 statute does not clearly state whether its coverage includes those administrative decisions made discretionary by executive branch regulation or merely those administrative decisions that Congress has said in a statute are discretionary. If the court ruled against Kuchana, the executive branch could deprive the federal courts of jurisdiction simply by issuing regulations that describe various administrative decisions as discretionary. Once the executive branch had described a decision as discretionary, the decision would no longer be subject to judicial review. The Seventh Circuit's decision created a circuit split because other circuits had held that only decisions deemed discretionary by a congressional statute were barred from review by the federal courts. So the question came up in the Kachana case, does a particular provision of the 1996 immigration laws that bars judicial review cover both administrative decisions made discretionary by statute and those administrative decisions made discretionary by executive branch regulation? The court's answer to this question was no. The Supreme Court held that the 1996 immigration laws prescription of judicial review applies only to determinations made discretionary by statute and not to determinations declared discretionary by the Attorney General himself or herself through regulation. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg wrote for the majority and was joined by Chief Justice John G. Roberts and Justices John Paul Stevens, Antonin Scalia, Anthony Kennedy, Clarence Thomas, Stephen Breyer, and Sonia Sotomayor. The court said that policy, the statute's language, and its history all indicate that the 1996 law does not bar judicial review for administrative decisions made discretionary only by regulation. At the heart of the court's concern was preserving the separation of powers and avoiding a situation where an executive branch order could preclude judicial branch review over a matter. According to the Supreme Court, only Congress can limit the federal court's jurisdiction, and the executive branch cannot shield its own decisions from abuse of discretion review simply by issuing a regulation. In a key quote in the case, the Supreme Court opined that, quote, the executive would have a free hand to shelter its own decisions from abuse of discretion appellate court review simply by issuing a regulation declaring those decisions discretionary, end quote. There was a concurrence from Justice Samuel Alito, who filed a separate opinion concurring in the judgment. He agreed that the Seventh Circuit had jurisdiction to review the denial of Mr. Kuchana's petition to reopen his removal proceeding. However, Justice Alito argued for a narrower holding. He stated that while some regulations issued by the Attorney General may be unreviewable, the particular regulation at issue in the Kuchana case was reviewable. What are the ramifications of this case? Well, it's a key decision for immigration lawyers because it settles an issue that has been vexing all the federal courts since 1996. Many immigrants have repeatedly argued that there should be federal court judicial review over administrative actions that have been made discretionary by regulation. And it has been popular for the executive branch to argue that the executive branch has the power to issue a regulation making something discretionary and then precluding judicial review of that decision. Interestingly, however, in the Kuchana case, at the last minute, the executive branch decided not to defend the case, and the Supreme Court had to appoint an amicus to advance the government's prior arguments. So some additional implications are, for those who do not practice immigration law, that this case is of grave interest because of its separation of powers implications and its commentary on the nature of administrative discretion. It's not a surprising case, however, given that the Supreme Court has a traditional presumption in favor of preserving judicial review of administrative action. And finally, the facts were favorable to Kuchana. The Supreme Court probably found it objectionable that the sometimes absurd technicalities of immigration and administrative law might require that someone who merely overslept one morning could face potential persecution or death as a result.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.